Eden and the serpent that had come crawling unbidden into it.
Shit, let me see. About 3 months ago, Traven got here with 2 younger men and 6 fine little pretties. I think he came from the north, maybe by boat, who knows. What I do know is that he came with the sweetest stuff ever. Better than Jolt, by a fucking mile. It's called Dream. Ever hear of it?
Can't say I have.
Well, it's this fine pink powder. Can either smoke it or snort it. Give you a fast rush, like speed or coke. More like Jolt, but better. 'Cause after that, you just feel nice and mellow. I mean, you don't want to do a damn thing after you take a nap on that shit. Like being awake and asleep at the same time.
I knew a few junkies who would have loved that crap.
Oh, it gets better. It's like everything becomes better. You almost bust a nut just eating a fucking fig. I don't care what you're listening to, it sounds like the best thing you ever heard. And sex? Shit. Ain't nothing better. At least, that's what everybody says. I don't know. I tried some once. They're partly right. But you could see through it.
How do you mean?
Like you're wearing a mask, but you know that you're wearing it. Like watching things through a mist. Like seeing the gun fired, but it's not your finger on the trigger. Just not real. But Boss Larry doesn't see it like that. That fat bastard's hooked on the stuff, and the only supplier is Adam Traven. But it isn't just the drug, though.
Kelly looked as though he were going to spit on the carpet. Then he remembered where he was and changed his mind.
The girls. Not women. Girls. Olders can't be more than 15. Tops. And they worship the ground Traven walks. Do anything for him. Boss Larry's hooked on them and what they do.
Traven pimps?
Kind of. More like a puppet master, pulling on the strings. He uses the girls himself, and the boys, I guess. But like he's sitting in a corner watching himself do what he does.
Control freak, that's what we used to call people like that. Manipulators, dominators. They get their kicks from forcing others to obey them. Sick bastards most.
A few of us sick. Well, we could take care of him.
What was that, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. We just figured that the safest step is the one not taken.
You could chill him. Him and his gang, or posse, or whatever he calls it.
Ryan looked past the sec man, out the misted window.
Why not?
Reasons. Maybe you'll see some yourself if you're here long enough.
But we won't be here long enough.
Christy looked over at Kelly.
You keep plenty hidden, don't you?
You a doomy? Some sort of muty seer? Boss Larry doesn't care much for muties. Nor norms come to that. So...
Don't need to be a doomy to be able to tell when a man isn't spilling it all on the floor.
How many in the Ville? Baron controls more than just this old park.
Kelly finally turned from the window.
I gotta be moving, people.
He hesitated at the door, his hand on the corroded metal of the handle.
Sure, it's bigger. Sea to shining sea. Boss Larry's power runs clear to the sea on the east, into the swamps as far as a man with a blaster can control. But there's Cajuns that way. Not even Boss Larry's been able to remove them all from the game.
Do you mean kill them? I always hated the way that wars use images from sport. Remove him from the game. You mean kill? Then say it.
Kelly's fingers dropped from the door handle to the butt of his blaster, and his eyes narrowed in anger.
I don't have to take that sort of soft-heart crap from you or anyone. Faster you people get back to the Outlands, the better for us all.
The door slammed so hard behind him that it made the air quiver in the big bedroom.
Way to go, Millie.
A half hour later, the door swung open, and Doc Tanner walked in, his arm across the shoulders of young Dean Cotter. The boy looked vaguely puzzled, as if the old man had shown him a wonderful card trick, then told him how it was done. And then done the same trick in a totally different and inexplicable way.
Dad?
What is it?
Doc's lying to me, isn't he?
Now, just wait a minute, young fellow.
Ryan glowered at the boy.
One thing you want to learn, and learn now, is that you take care about calling anyone a liar. You say that to a stranger, and you might end up trying to push your guts back inside the hole in your belly. You say it to a friend, and you could finish up losing that friend.
But he ain't... isn't 200 years old, is he?
The boy looked around at the others for confirmation of his own doubts.
Mildred?
You're asking me?
Yeah, why?
Well, look, boy, Doc has his faults, and there are plenty of them, but telling lies has never been one of them. No.
Nobody's 200 years old.
I tried to make all of this simple for the lad. Some ways I'm only in my 30s. Another way, it is true, you could estimate that I'm not just 70. I'm something around 70. But the trolling makes all sorts of things kind of muddled.
I'd love to time travel.
I can't say that I recommend it, son.
I could go back and see the first time you ever met my mother, Rona, couldn't I, Dad?
The thought of having his son witness the first animal coupling with Sharona Carson brought Ryan closer to blushing than he'd been for more than 30 years.
Why, you could. But they gave up on the tests. Too many horrors.
What sort of horrors?
Doc patted the boy on the arm.
Believe me, Dean, it is better you never know.
It was the middle of the afternoon when they received another message. One of the sec men, with only two silver stripes on his arm, rapped on the door.
Baron Boss Larry wants to see you all.
When?
Now. Come on, Outlander. Now.
The ground smelled green and damp from the recent rain. They saw still pools of water coated with a layer of dark mud, and the leaves of the trees and shrubs dripped into the long grass. Their boots sucked at the sodden earth. Ryan and JB had discussed what to do about the blasters that had been returned to them, finally agreeing that they'd leave the Smith & Wesson 12-gauge and the Steyr rifle behind in their rooms. Now the companions walked along the paths, following Kelly. The non-com had a couple of his men with him, but they were only for show. They passed an eatery with a group of about 30 people standing outside. As they got closer, Ryan saw that the strangers were all in their late 50s and 60s. One or two of the women looked as if they might even be in their 70s. Kelly had also spotted them, and he slowed his pace to come alongside Ryan and Christy.
Oldies.
Where did they come from?
Outside the park. There's a kind of condo development between here and the start of the swamps, called the Zaps Rainbow's End Retirement Complex.
They pay him for protection?
Yeah. Just a small part of the jack that flows in, and then flows out again.
How many wrinklies are there? Never seen a lot together.
Around 100. They're getting frightened. That's a deputation over there.
Frightened?
Christy looked at the sec man.
What do they have to be frightened about if they got all that sec man power?
Kelly stopped before they got too close to the eatery. The group of old-timers had turned to look in their direction, conversation freezing.
They're frightened because five of them have been chilled in the last 3 weeks. Chilled. Butchered, better word. Hacked apart and words daubed on the walls in blood. Jack and jewels taken. Nobody saw anything. Nobody heard anything. Boss Larry blames the Swampies.
You don't?
My ma didn't raise me to answer stupid questions, lady.
And yet she raised a fool.
Mr. Kelly! Yoo-hoo! Can we speak to you for a moment?
Why, Mrs. Owen, didn't see you there. Hope the rain didn't catch you all out.
Mrs. Owen was a pocket version of Boss Larry, though she probably didn't weigh more than 300 pounds. The pink flounced trouser suit was straining at the seams to keep it all under control, and only just winning the battle. Her hair was tinted a startling shade of electric blue, which matched her eye makeup. As she sashayed toward them, face powder crumbled from the lines in her cheeks and chin, like a miniature blizzard.
Where is the Baron? He's late for our meeting.
Been working hard on some sec plans, hoping to solve the problems you got down at Rainbow's End.
One of the other guards, standing just beyond Doc, whispered something to the old man and sniggered. Doc raised an eyebrow and said nothing. Kelly caught the exchange and glowered at the sec man.
You're lucky I didn't hear that. If I'd heard it, then Boss Larry would have heard it.
Mrs. Owen seemed mollified by the non-com's hasty answer. She raised a tortoiseshell lorgnette to her beady eyes and twinkled at the group, paying particular attention to Doc.
Why, who are these strangers, Mr. Kelly? Such a rare sight here.
Guests of the boss. Going to take them on some of the rides.
Mrs. Owen had been clutching a hand across her capacious bosom. Now she moved it, revealing a fine necklace of chunky amber beads, the largest one tipped with a silver cross. It was a very striking piece of jewelry.
I believe that I've met this handsome gentleman before.